Welcome to the most insane episode of Movie Club yet. We're going to be going long. We're going to be going hard. We have a lot to cover in today's episode. And we're going to get into it. Welcome to the Past Lives Movie Club review discussion. Go ahead.
I'm Shakers. I'm going to give probably... One. I would like to see the Past Lives. They keep talking about them, but I'm okay.
You didn't see him.
Was I a dog and or was I a court jester and you were the queen? I don't know. Show don't tell.
Yeah.
Show don't tell. That's all I have to say about that.
There you go.
Like, show me some of these things. I thought in the last 5 minutes they could have gone crazy. Like, you know, in Past Lives, I was a dinosaur and you were a cave girl, because they did exist at the same time. Scientists say that dinosaurs are millions of years old when actually we know they're 5,000 years old.
This is off to a great start, because I agree with everything you're saying.
Thank you.
Yeah. I went to a creation museum, and that's what... We never went to that.
Mm-mm. Were we going to?
We talked about it once on a podcast there, because it's so fucking crazy that we have a creation museum not too far from us. I don't know if it's still open. Hopefully it's not. Honestly.
What's crazy about the truth?
Yeah. I don't need people to yell at me when they're fucking psychos, so maybe I won't do that. But anyways.
A very dismissive beginning to this episode, I feel like.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Past Lives isn't trying to get political.
Yeah.
So that's what I appreciated about it.
Sorry about that. My political views that dinosaurs are more than 5,000 years old. Apologize.
Yeah. I know it's an election year. But we don't need to get into that.
I don't need to think about that.
Past Lives. This was what I was just asking Sean about is I didn't know if this was like an American-made film or not, with it dealing with Korea and all that kind of stuff. I didn't know if it came from another country or whatever. I know A24 distributed it, but they've done that for like, what was that? Wasn't there that Lamb movie or whatever? Like, I don't think that was an American film.
I haven't seen that many A24 movies.
Yeah, well, most of them are crap.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I've heard good things.
I just feel like I love that they put out original movies and stuff. I think they're great, but there's just a lot of really overrated turds in the mix. But every now and then you get
I just feel like
a classic.
I appreciate, because they're not going to release, you know, Transformers 7.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're at least doing different shit. That's all I ask. I don't care if it's good or bad, honestly.
Although,
because I like you tried.
Although, they lost so much money on Bo is Afraid that when they gave their projections for the next year, they were like, higher focus on action. Action film. So we'll see how that goes over the next year or two. Bo is Afraid was, there you go. There's your answer right there on how this all happened. Bo is Afraid was the third, I think third. I don't know how many movies the guys made. The guy who made Midsommar and Hereditary.
Oh, he made another one.
Made his big third movie with them. And it was, they let him do, it was a classic, oh, you're good. Here's a blank check.
Right.
Just like whatchamacallit, Babylon. You know what? You've given us a few cult classics. Here's a blank check, and it didn't work out well for them. I know there are plenty of people who really like Bo is Afraid. I feel like I know less people that like Babylon, but it did lose a lot of money for them regardless. I'm curious what the future of A24 is. But at the end of the day, there's some movies by them that I hear about all the time. I don't care for them. At the end of the day, you have to appreciate that there's a studio letting filmmakers just make films that are, and distribute films that are, you know, provocative and interesting and not part of some dumb series, you know.
So yeah.
I think it's cool. Case in point here, Past Lives. This is that kind of like mid-budget just...
$12 million was the
budget. Low budget. I mean, that's low for a studio to release. I feel like not everyone's releasing something like this now. I feel like there's a tendency to, just put it on streaming. Oh, just, you know, whatever. And then here we are. We have it.
Yeah.
Here in A24 put their weight behind it and it's getting nominated and all that stuff. We're going to go through the movie, but Sean said from the beginning, this isn't going to be a long episode.
Yeah, when I saw the movie before Rocco.
Yeah.
And I didn't tell him what I thought about it, but I did say, like, this is not going to be an hour and a half long movie club. Like, because the plot, it's not really about, the plot is such an elevator pitch. You can just tell it in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But that's what happens.
Yeah.
And it's kind of how they deal with that. And
yeah.
It's just like the character development of that. So let's go into the plot a little bit. I'll start off by saying that I did not know anything about this movie.
Me neither. I didn't know a thing.
And we picked it solely on the fact that it was nominated for Best Picture. And, you know, looking at this list, which I happen to have right here, you know, now we've seen most. We haven't seen American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Zone of Interest. But now we've seen everything else. And that's seven other movies we saw. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know. Like I said, I didn't know. What's that?
We didn't see Maestro either. But
I don't care.
I don't give a fuck about
I'm
that.
Not watching that. Fuck that. Yeah, again, didn't know what to expect. Well, I just want to say before getting into the story, I find the more and more as my life goes on, I said this before, I become more impressed by movies that actually create their world and create their story using the simplest ingredients possible. If you can impress me with the fewest ingredients, it's almost more impressive than the biggest movie with the most ingredients.
I completely agree.
And that's why I talked about how much I loved like Hateful Eight, you know, not Quentin Tarantino's like biggest favorite among people, but I might love it more than any of the other stuff he's done because he did so much with them just being in a cabin. You know, there's been multiple movies that we've had on here that it's just like, oh, it's the simplest thing, but you did so
even,
much with it.
Even Rope, I thought was great because it was like,
cool.
You're staying in this room and you're what kind of living this real time with them.
So this movie, if you want to write out the story and write down the story beats, probably has like four.
Yeah.
I mean, it really doesn't have much, but I'll just say ahead of everything, this is my shit. This movie, I remember a couple years ago for the nominee seeing Drive My Car, and that's another quiet movie about weird relationship shit to someone else and long stretches, no talking and whatever. I find that crafting something like this with the most minimal, I mean, there's so little even kind of discussed here.
Yeah.
But that speaks to me more. I get more out of less said, the better almost. Like, or what am I trying to say? You could have complicated this with so many more things, but you didn't. You boiled it down to just weird human feelings and let them exist.
And that's what I was thinking as well, because to me, it's like I've thought about this movie a lot since I watched it. And the fact that you go see so many movies and you forget it the second I got home the other night and Emma was watching the Uncharted movie, which I had seen before in theaters. I took them to see it in theaters. And I'm watching it, I'm like, I don't remember any of this because it just didn't stick with me because it wasn't impactful. It was just a dumb movie.
Yeah.
And then I'm watching this and it's like, man, this was so simple, but like I've just been thinking about these two characters this whole time. It's like I'm still like, you know, thinking about it. Like it stuck with me. So that I think that says something where it's like you use so little and you make it stick to people. And it's meaningful to people.
Yeah.
And I think everyone has a relationship, not exactly like this, but there are relationships that you lose in your childhood. And now with Facebook and stuff like that, you're able to reconnect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But do you? You know, like,
yeah.
I had a best friend, and he was my best friend. And we every day I hung out with him. And then, you know, life moved on. And when I was about 12, I stopped really hanging out with him. And now I have no idea, you know. If I saw him today, it would be so like, hey, it'd be good to see him, but also so awkward, you know? And
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Everyone has a relationship like this they can relate to, whether it be a romantic one or just a friend or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I also, this is going to sound really weird. How do I say this? I really enjoy stories of, I have to figure out how to say this properly because it's going to sound like, what? Like male, female, relationships that don't necessarily go romantic.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like there are many times it's on the cusp of that here in this movie,
mm-hmm.
but it never, you're watching this, we're going to spoil the movie. It never goes that way. And I enjoyed that, but I find that there's stories like this where it's like these two are almost like the closest you can get, but it never goes there.
Mm-hmm.
And I am fascinated by those kinds of things because I feel like it's like almost, there's a different sort of powerful energy there, a sort of wanting to understand and cross this gulf of misunderstanding as opposed to it just, and then they got married and well, they lived happily ever. I think there's something more interesting about a bond between man and woman that doesn't go that way. Mm-hmm. This is going to sound weird, like, cool, this is your comparison, but it's, Sean, you got to play Metal Gear Solid 3. You got to play Snake Eater. And it's like how Snake in that game feels about the boss. Mm-hmm. Oh, was there something? There's something going on with you. Like he just worships her, and it's like, oh, there's something going on with these two. And it's like, no, it's like not that. It's actually like, I don't even know how to explain it. It like there's such a fucking connection there, but it doesn't go that way. Mm-hmm. It's like she inspires him in different ways. I'm fascinated by those types of relationships being explored in movies.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that I knew, there's women that I knew in my life, people my age that I was like, am I into them? Like, am I into them like that? Or is there just something I'm seeking to understand and they're helping me with that?
Hmm.
So anyway, sorry. Enough of this like Joe Rogan fucking DMT discussion here this. But I actually had some deep thoughts watching this.
And that's the thing is like I think I get what you're saying. You know, and you know I did have a relationship with a girl who was like my best friend, and
yeah,
it was strictly platonic. And yeah, she was cute, and I was into her, definitely, mm-hmm. for sure. But I always knew it was going to be platonic, and that was what it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great, you know. And mm-hmm. later, it ended up being Jenny, and we got married. But that wasn't the intention. That wasn't the intention. We didn't think that was going to happen. Neither one of us thought that was going
to
happen.
I think if you wanted to make a good example,
yeah.
you shouldn't have married her.
Oh,
that's my opinion. I think you kind of beefed this episode of Movie Club. Shoot. I think you should have made this episode of Movie Club better by not getting married to her.
I think
that would have improved this show. Everything else would have been worse, but this episode would have been way
better.
You would have made a good example. No.
I think what I love about this movie, too, well, we'll get into it. We should probably go into the plot, but there is no villain in this movie. And it's just the circumstances, and mm-hmm. it's just what people do in the circumstances, but you root for. Okay, so basically, let's get into the plot.
Well, you didn't watch the director's cut. In the director's cut, there is a villain, Lord X Death, shows up. Yeah, and he's like, he wants to turn the planet into a.
But it would be so easy for them to make her husband a shithead.
Yes.
And he isn't. And so, what this movie is, really quick, is in the year 2000, there are two kids in South Korea who are 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They have feelings for one another. Their parents arrange for them to go on like a date, and they're just like, basically a play date. They're playing at a park and they're just being silly kids or whatever. And then the moms are talking, and they say, like, one of the mom of the girl was like, hey, we're moving to Canada. You know, this is the last thing we're really going to be doing together. But like, I just wanted her to remember like something good from Korea.
Yeah.
And so the boy, Ha-sung, is like into, you know, has a crush on her. And then, like, kind of finds out with everybody else at school that she's leaving, and doesn't even talk to her. He's just like, he's heart's broken. I felt bad for him.
Yeah, you
feel bad for the kid.
Yeah,
especially when you're a kid and like the world is so out of your control. You're just at the mercy of adults, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, especially in this situation, I remember back to Friends. I had a friend who lived across the street from me who I was good friends with. Mm-hmm. And then out of nowhere, they just moved to like Kansas City. And it's like, well, I never saw him again.
Yeah.
But it's like, as a kid, you're so out of control. I remember like seeing him like with the moving trucks, being like, okay, sorry that we're leaving. Goodbye. And that was it, you know? And that's hard. And so they're going their own separate ways home. And he says like, hey, like, see ya or something. I forget what he says. Something to her.
Mm. Yeah. Hey. Yeah. He's like, hey. Hey,
I forget what it was, but it was something like that.
I think don't they just look at each other and just bye?
Maybe.
Something like that.
Maybe. So then it cuts to 12 years later, and now she is an adult, early adult, and she's living in New York, and she wants to be whatever. And then she's talking to her mom on the phone, who I think is in Canada, but she's talking to her in Korean, and then she's like going through Facebook, and then they basically find a comment left on something by this kid. And remember this kid? And they found him. She messages him. And they kind of reconnect through Skype.
Yeah.
Which I liked the technology they used.
I love that they showed old school Skype. That was great. Honestly, didn't think that was going to get featured in an Oscar
and
film.
And the fact that it was like breaking up and it was like shitty connection.
It was well done.
It's like, this is exactly what Skype is.
Yeah. You know? Yep.
And so they basically like form a relationship, and you don't really know if it's romantic or not with their feelings in it.
Yeah.
They're talking back and forth, and they do definitely seem like it seems like he especially is like waiting for her to call him and is always like, you know, super into it until one day she's like, hey, like, you can't come out here for another 2 years. I can't go out there to see you. Like, we stopped. What are we doing?
Yeah, she's like, I want to accomplish stuff before I leave New York. Or, you know, if I want to leave New York or I want to do something else, I want to accomplish something here. And I'm calling you every day. I'm spending every day looking up tickets to Seoul where he is.
Yeah.
Like, I got to spend my time. I got to, like, get productive
here. I think
she's
really focused on, like, Seoul is my past.
Yeah.
And my future is here, and I keep looking into the past. And talking to you is looking into the past, and I need to stop.
Yeah. I just need to take it. Like, and she says, a brief break.
A brief break.
We'll talk again. I need to get my shit together.
We'll talk again soon. And then it goes to 12 years later. Mm-hmm. So they mention this thing a lot, and I'm not going to remember the term for it, but it's a Korean term, and it basically...
Yeah. I know what you're going to say. Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but it basically is like, you in living past lives, there are people that are going to be important to you and that you've seen each other before. And whether it be, they say like, you know, you are a tree and I was the bird that landed on your branch. Like, that was a connection that we've had. And they said that's with everybody. So, like, anyone that's in your life. So, if you're walking down the street and someone bumps your shoulder and you touch that person, at some point in some other life, you two have bumped before.
Yeah. Kind of caused this to happen.
Not the most close connection, but you're still connected to each other.
Yeah.
And they keep referencing that. And then you see the girl, Nora is her American name that she chooses.
Yeah.
And she is telling this guy, I think his name is Arthur. And then later you find out, so 12 years later, Nora marries Arthur, originally for the green card, but they seem to be like in love. It wasn't just like a green card.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I got to get married situation. It was like, they do love each other, but maybe they jumped the gun a little bit and got married way faster than they really wanted to because she wanted to stay in New York, and so he married her. And now they live together, and they have a little place in the East Village in New York City, and they seem happy. Then Ha-sung, the audience finds out, breaks up with his girlfriend and is coming to New York for a vacation. And you don't know why, but you assume it's just to see her. Like, he's been thinking about her.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, for the past 24 years, he's been thinking about her. And so he wants to see her in person again. And so they meet up, and then they go kind of just like reminisce, and they're talking, and it's really nice. And they truly do have a deep, beautiful connection, and you see it, and you root for them to be together, but you know that they can't because of her husband, which you kind of like hate A little bit, but he's the nicest guy. Like, yeah. He didn't do it, and there's even a point where he's like, I feel like I'm the villain of the story. Like, I'm just getting in the way of, like,
yeah,
this love story of you reconnecting after all these years, and I'm just this guy from New York. Like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
But she's like, no, I love you, and I want to be with you, you know? And he's very, like, welcoming and nice. I don't know.
And they have open conversation. He comes to the U.S. or whatever Ha Sung does, and she goes to see him, and it's a very open, candid conversation. Are you attracted to him? And I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. And then it's interesting. She keeps saying he's very Korean.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I mean, you're Korean. Yeah, but I don't feel really Korean.
Yeah.
And especially when I'm around him, I'm not like this.
Right.
Kind of thing. So there have been very open, candid conversations. Yeah.
And then she does say, like, I think he is attractive. I'm not attracted to him. But he's attractive.
And I think something that this movie did really well is you're always on the cusp of thinking, like you said, the husband of anyone should be the villain here. He's going to break up they're destined to be together, and he's going to break it up, you know. You're always on the cusp of seeing that happen, where you feel like you're going to see that happen. You know, oh, he's asking about it. Are you attracted to him? Oh, he's going to throw a fit. But he really doesn't.
No, he's just like, okay.
And and the classic bad husband trope in any movie, what is it?
I don't know.
He's playing video games.
Oh, yeah.
But even then, she's kind of having a moment, and he stops and is like, what's good? You know, everything cool? Everything good? You know, but I thought they did a really good job playing with your
expectations,
playing with that feeling of like he's gonna fail her here, he's gonna get mad here, and he doesn't.
And he's very like, lets her do whatever.
Yeah,
you know, like, you want to go out with him for the whole day, like, go ahead.
Yeah,
like, this is good for you.
And
you know?
At one point, she invites him in to like, come meet my husband. Oh, you. That's okay. Yeah. And he comes over. And again, they show the husband just on his phone, and the door closes, and he's still just on his phone. And again, I have this moment of like, the husband doesn't give a fuck.
Right.
The husband's over this. He doesn't care. And no, he's actually learning Korean.
Right.
He comes up and does his best to greet him in Korean.
He's trying to find the words.
I really thought they did a great job kind of, again, like, giving you an opportunity to, well, I'll be disappointed in this guy. Oh, but I'm not, you know, they played with that, I thought, in a really interesting way.
And I guess I was reading the making of this movie. The director wanted it to be tense when they first met.
Mm-hmm.
And so the actors had never met before they said action.
That's
on
great.
That scene. So they really did meet on camera for the first time.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad you know behind the scenes stuff, because I seriously just saw this. Like, I don't know anything about the production.
There wasn't that much behind the scenes stuff really to
There weren't any like cool stunts or anything they tried to do?
No, I will say that they were doing the Skype thing, and they had them separated.
Yeah.
A lot of the movie, they did want them separated, so when they did see each other again, it was like, you know, kind of a little awkward. I think because the whole movie is like, what do you do? Like, what do you say? Like, what's going on? You know, whatever. But yeah, so that was the first time that they had met, and they used that first take, actually. So that is actually the first time they met.
Yeah.
After that, they're talking, and then the husband is like, what do you want to get food? And the guy wants pasta, so they get pasta, and they're all like, okay. And then you kind of see them at dinner, and then they go to a bar and having drinks, which is the reason why they made this movie, is that first. It's the first scene you see, but also it's like towards the end. And it's the three of them at a bar, because this happened to the director. And she is Korean and was talking to an old, I guess like young love.
Yeah.
Who like, they didn't have feelings for each other anymore, but they were talking, and she was talking to their husband. She was the one who was translating for both of them. And she thought, like, this should be explored. This is an interesting
dynamic. Yeah.
And so she made the movie. It's not. Yeah. The idea was autobiographical, but it ended up not being. But
It's
from a stem of what happened to her.
Germ of it began there.
So they're in the scene, and then it's them for a moment. The husband's just sitting there, and the two of them are like having like a real conversation.
Yeah,
and it's like heavy. You know, he's just basically like kind of confessing to her, like, you know, like I. He doesn't say straight up, I love you or I want to be with you.
Yeah.
But you know, he know it by what he's saying. Like you can just sense that
he's
like
he's kind of pouring his heart out.
He is. Yeah. And like also there's a point where it's just like, I didn't think it would be so hard to like him. Or like, no, it makes it harder that I like
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like he's so nice and I'm happy you're with him.
Yeah.
And that is hurting me and I don't know why. But like, it's like a beautiful conversation.
Yeah. By the way, just real quick, the husband,
yeah,
her husband was setting my radar off the whole movie.
Ooh, I'm going, is he?
Who is this guy? Who is this guy? Ah, ding, 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 Silvio, Sopranos. Now you're thinking, how could that be?
That's not Silvio.
The Many Saints of Newark,
oh,
the prequel movie. He has got the hairpiece on. Paulie, not so sure about that. Yeah, okay. Did you ever see that?
I never did.
Oh, you never did?
I think I own it.
It's Sopranos. It's great as Sopranos lore DLC.
Is
it a great movie? Is it the best Sopranos episode? But it's like, but we got an extra Sopranos
kind of
episode
funny back there.
And we got an extra Sopranos episode, and you learn a couple things about characters. Oh, we didn't know that.
Okay,
that's something new we didn't know. And then it's over, and it's like, okay, well, you know what I mean. It's like I said, DLC. It's not a. That's the best movie ever. It's not that great.
Right.
But the DLC aspect is good. Sometimes DLC is good.
So then...
Anyway.
They leave the bar, and then it's time for Ha Sung to go home. We're back to his Airbnb, and he's going to fly out the next morning. And she is like, I'm going to walk him to his Uber. And he's like, okay, and like, nice to meet you, whatever. And then they walk to the Uber, and it's mostly in silence. And that's what I really appreciated about this whole ending part.
Yeah.
Is that there is like... no dialogue. It's just them walking down the street, and then they like kind of wait for the Uber, and they kind of stare at each other. And the way they stare is like, "Are you going to kiss here?"
Yeah.
Like what is going to happen here? You know, because it is so like staring at each other's eyes and just like trying to figure out like what to do.
I think.
Then the Uber shows up. They don't kiss. He just gives her a hug and then gets his bag in. And then he says, leaving, you know, like, it was a really beautiful line, honestly.
Do you think, you know, you talked about, again, I wish I could remember the term for the past lives thing.
Yeah.
Where in past lives we interacted with each other and maybe it happens, maybe you live 8,000 past lives together before anything happens between you, you know, whatever. And so he says, like, do you think in another life long from now we're already something, like we're something else?
Yeah.
Is this where he says, like, they're kind of joking at the bar about that. But he kind of says, do you think, you know what I mean? Like I forget exactly how they worded it.
Yeah, but it basically ended up with, like, she's like, I think so, or whatever. And then he goes, all right, I'll see you then.
Like he says... he wonders if at that moment we're experiencing a past life, basically.
Yeah.
Like, and what will our relationship be in the next one?
Right.
And she says, I don't know. And he says, well, I'll see you then.
Yeah. Which is such a heartbreaking and beautiful way to say goodbye.
Yeah.
To someone who was obviously so important for your whole life. But you know, like, he's not coming back to New York. She's not going to go to Korea probably to find him. And this is the last time they'll see each other. And then it cuts to a second of them as kids on those same stoops saying goodbye then. And I guess the director really was trying to use this. You know, Ha Sung is always walking to the left, which is like, in her mind, going to the past, and Nora's always walking to the right, to the future.
Oh.
And so when they're walking back to the Uber, they're both walking to the left.
Mm.
And then when it's time for him to go, he drives off and she walks back to the right.
Yeah, but interesting.
They do that a lot. When they're together, they're walking to the left because it's them going to relive in the past.
Interesting.
And then when she's with the husband, she's walking to the right.
Video game platformer rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're
exactly.
going back that way. Yeah,
it's
yeah,
exactly
yeah.
That.
This is gamer shit, dude.
So then she walks back to her husband and just doesn't say anything, just breaks down crying. And that's kind of, you see him driving away in the Uber, and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And I kind of just sat there and it's like, you know, you didn't do much.
Yeah.
But I loved everyone here and I'm sad. And I don't really know why.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
The, So I said before, like, when a movie can talk about feelings like this and do it in a way, I feel like so many like aren't romantic or whatever movies that are made in America just need, feel the need to be quippy and jokey and, oh, this is awkward. And so when one can come out and just kind of let those feelings sit and not much needs to be said, and like I said, tell it in the simplest way, mm-hmm. it really affects me. But it feels more real that way. But I'll say, in addition to that, I've said this before as well, I am a mark for stories about time.
Mm.
And I get so wrecked when people show me their childhood photos and people, whatever. The time is such a heavy thing to me. And to see someone's legacy is what's so heavy to me. You see them as a kid, you know them now. It's like, oh, there it all is right there. And I don't know what it is. That is an Achilles heel for me. I will start crying.
Mm.
This movie not only had all the other stuff I previously mentioned, but then, man, it cutting to them as kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it taking place over these different eras in their life. Sean, that's the last part. I was crying. I wasn't like, man, that choked me up. It's very rare.
Yeah.
But this actual tears, I mean, full. I was crying in this last part.
Wow.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Like, bad. It was bad.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with crying. I'm a firm believer.
No, a man shouldn't do that. I'm just joking.
It's so funny how that has so turned. That used to be like the same, yeah. Like, you know, I was this is a jump, but I was watching Arrested Development with Beckett, and there's the last episode they filmed before they did the new one, so like the last of the original batch.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Bateman is giving a speech and starts crying, and yeah. Everyone is just like, ooh, like whatever, and then like they're all being such dicks to him, and like, yeah. Jason Bateman has a son named George Michael, and in the beginning, before the show even starts, the mom's dead. And then Will Arnett walks up with Jason Bateman and is like, I see that George Michael got his mom back today because he gave him so much shit because he was crying. You know,
it's just like,
which Jesus. Is a very funny joke. But yeah. I do believe, especially in movies, you're definitely.
Well, yeah, I love a movie getting me choked up. And that happens to me often. I'll get choked up. And that's a sign of a good movie to me. Very rare that the tears actually come out.
Mm-hmm.
And this was very rare. I can name probably on one hand or two hands, maybe that how many movies have done that. I'm trying to think movies that I have actually. Okay, I'm choked up. All the tears came out. This is gonna sound like roll your eyes. Toy Story 3 did it.
Oh, for sure.
And ending of that was like, oh, straight up, we're crying in the theater. There was another one. Fuck. Not that long ago.
Dude, you know what got me was First Man with Ryan Gosling.
Really?
Yeah. But I...
Wow.
Have you seen that movie?
Yeah, I thought it was just okay.
I don't like it either. It was all right. But I didn't know in real life Neil Armstrong's daughter died. And when he had the bracelet and he buried it on the moon...
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't. I was like, my kids made me bracelet like this all the time. I can't fucking do this. And
yeah.
Talk about now. Yeah. Fuck that.
I got surprisingly messed up this. It's so funny. I saw that last Evangelion movie multiple times. It came to streaming first.
Right.
Multiple times on there. As a huge Ava fan, it was the ending. I got a little choked up, but I'm not crying over it. And then, man, they played it in IMAX like in August or whenever that was. And it was like, am I seeing this for the first time? Like, what? It was weird.
Huh.
And I saw, you know, a few of us went and we were like, I mean, I've seen that before. I don't know why that got, but when it's big, you kind of step away from it for a little bit. That kind of got me. I don't know if I had tears coming down my face, but it was very close. But it's only been a few movies for me where it really actually got me.
And I feel like, and that's why, you know, again, we're recording this a little late, and we did our Oscar predictions, and I said for original screenplay, I picked this one just because it affected me so much with so little.
Yeah, they might have
and like
a shot
maybe. I mean, there's a lot of other movies that were nominated, but for me, this was like, man, you didn't have a lot of ingredients, as we said, and you got me so emotional, and I'm thinking about it still. That I'm impressed by that, you know.
Yeah, I'm also gonna say too. I'm gonna speak technical on this.
Mm-hmm.
Movie was shot totally 35 millimeter film, and you could tell.
Yeah.
You could tell, and man, you just can't beat that texture, man.
This is a director.
It just looks, oh.
Celine Song. This is her first movie. She never directed.
Well, let's hope it's her last. That, you know, you nailed it. No, I'm just kidding.
And on a high note.
don't mess it up. No, that's great.
But yeah,
that's
so awesome. I mean, wrote it and directed it. Like, amazing. So, all right. Well, do you want to do Shakers, or do you have more to say about this movie?
I want to say last thing. I'm going to give my, this is my take. Tell me if you agree with my take.
Okay.
I think this movie is about, you know, with her and her relationship to Ha-sung.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was more about her. I was kind of just trying to figure out what's going on in the movie where she keeps saying he's very Korean. He's very Korean. There is a real lack of Korean stuff when you see the glimpses of her normal life with her husband.
Yeah.
There's a real lack of that. I just thought they really went out of their way to be like, you know, hey, what do you want to do tonight? Like, what do you want to eat?
Mm-hmm.
Chicken wings.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like that Korean part of her isn't there. And then he even had a wonderful conversation in this movie where they're in bed and he's like, you sleep talk, it's Korean.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he says, he's like, part of why I've been learning Korean is I feel like there's a part of you I can't get into. Mm-hmm. Like there's a part of you I'm not allowed to be there.
Right.
And she's like, oh, really? I do that? Like even she is not aware that this part of her exists. And I think her thing with Ha-sung and him coming back and in general, her whole ongoing thing with him is her inability to, I think this movie is her getting closure on she never got to close the Korean part of her life.
Yeah, it was just kind of taken away from her. You know,
it was just nope, moved. Not anymore. And immediately changed her name.
Mm-hmm.
Who she was put away. Yeah, sweep that under the rug. And okay. And this was finally her getting to Not only say goodbye to this guy who's been a great guy and a cool dude, but say goodbye to that she never got closure on the little girl from Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that he helped her do that.
Yep.
It's like you can get into with him, you get into that space that her husband talked about that is impenetrable. She can be in there and say goodbye to it and finally close it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I took from it. And,
you know, I'm looking at this, picture above us and the movie poster right there.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking that formatting, he is always on that side of the screen.
I never thought about that. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Like what?
And I'm even in my head thinking of shots and I'm like, yeah, he's right there. He's there.
He's always on
that
side going towards the past and mm-hmm. she's always trying to get to the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
How interesting. And that your first movie. You come up with that shit? That's good.
Seems like you nailed it.
That's fucking.
I hope she gets tagged to do like some Marvel stuff.
You know, I wish.
Like, get her in the Marvel MCU.
I wish she was nominated for Best Director.
Really not?
No.
Jesus.
No. That's what I'm saying.
Damn.
You know, everyone was so mad about the Barbie situation.
Greta Gerwig. Yeah, fuck that.
But this movie.
I would say it just seems like women got the shaft on this one.
Yeah, well, that's kind of definitely, yeah. But like, she should have been. Yeah. This was. For direct, I don't know. Mm. You know, what do I know?
I'm
just an idiot.
I'm more affected by the directing in this than most of the shit in the other. You know,
yeah, me too.
Although at the end of the day, I do think it's Nolan's year.
Sure, but like,
sorry,
you know, okay.
But this would be to me second to that and in terms
I
of
guess
like how
I
would.
I haven't seen two of the movies. I haven't seen Anatomy of Fall or Zone of Interest, but I did see Poor Things. That directing that was actually really good.
Yeah,
and Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah,
Snooze Fest. I'm just joking. I just wanted to get a reaction out of you. Okay, let's do some Shakers. What do we say? Rocco, you go first. Or am I going first?
I'll go.
Okay.
Like I said, tell me the deepest story with the simplest notes. You did it. The look of the movie was great. Shot it on film. It looked amazing. The emotion was super affecting to me. This exploring this type of relationship, that like, what kind of relationship is it? It's more of a seeking understanding, where not even they know what it is, mm-hmm. and they are trying to find something deeper in each other, in themselves. You do all that with as few words as possible. You make it look good like this, and you play with time.
Mm.
You show their lives from them being children to being, older adults. I have no notes. This is a 5 for me.
5 this from Rocco.
I'm going to say, like, Oppenheimer. Is that the better movie? Yeah, probably objectively you have what a fucking production and how it came together. But this is my shit.
Mm-hmm.
When it's a quiet movie with a human thing like this, and it's kind of hard to explain, and you need to kind of think about it to find a key to understand it. I have no notes on this fucking movie.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, that's my thought too. It's like, I was wrestling between a 4 and a 5. Because it's like, I don't...
Mm-hmm.
But what would I change? I just think that it's really well done. And I think that everyone... Like, there's so many little things in the movie that mean so much. And I think I'm going to get a 5 too. I thought...
Damn!
It shouldn't... And again, like, I don't think it will win maybe any Oscars. I hope it does. I hope so. But like, it just to me was like, what a beautiful little movie. You know, like, it's just, you could have so easily fucked this up. So easily. And they didn't. And they just, I thought, played with time so well and the character so well. It was a really beautiful story. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
So, wow. I wasn't prepared for that when we picked this movie.
No, I didn't think we were both giving it 5. No. Are you kidding me? I feel like one of us should back off.
Okay.
That seems extreme. You know what? 2. Anyway, back to Evangelion. What got me seeing that in IMAX, dude, when Gendo is like realizing what made him warped like he was, and then you go to that shot you see in the show a million times of Shinji crying and Gendo walking away. That was like a repeated shot 80 times in the show. And they repeat that, but he turns back around and fucking hugs Shinji.
Right, right, right.
It's so funny. I saw it on streaming 4 times. It was like, wow. It was emotional. It was great. Sure. But whatever. But in IMAX, it was like, fuck. It was too much. It got me, man. Mm. And it goes to show you, I'm making a point here, that not about Ava. I could talk about Ava all day if you want. Mm. But... presentation goes a long way.
Yeah.
And the presentation of IMAX was so big and powerful. You know, when you're watching it on your fucking telephone, it's not sometimes not the same. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion. This movie had a beautiful presentation. I rented this on Amazon something like that, whatever. But wherever you get it, you can rent it in 4K UHD.
Right.
Oh, it looks so crisp and good. And anyway, I was happy to see it in such a great... They did a great job. Movie looked great.
I think there are movies that we've done with the movie club that I thought like, I don't know what this movie is. Like Citizen Kane. I'm like, I've never seen this. I don't know what it's going to be. But like, if you told me, like, I give that a 5. We all did.
Yeah.
But if you had said like, you're going to give that a 5, I go, I mean, it's okay. That makes sense. You know?
Yeah.
But like, there's a couple that we've seen, like this or Portrait of a Lady on Fire, where I give a 5 to. It's like, but I still think about these movies that wasn't even... They were on my radar, and I just watched them. Like, that fucking blew me away.
Yeah.
Blew me away.
Emotional stories, too. I'm just thinking about Portrait of a Lady on Fire, like you just mentioned, and it just hit me. I'm like, stories about heavy emotional shit should be as quiet as possible. I feel like
quiet.
When they can just let the feeling sit, it goes a lot further than... let's get into this. Let's really, well, what is it? Just quips to me are the death of emotion.
You know what's interesting too? With both of those movies, the people you want to be together aren't at the end.
Yeah.
But that is so,
that's
real life. That shit happens.
I think Portrait of the Lady of Fire would have been more powerful if it was with a man. Yeah. You know, two women.
Is that right?
I can't relate.
Yeah.
Oh, two women like each other. And what about me?
He did pick the director's list. Rocco did pick that, just in case you were curious.
Yeah.
So he made sure there was no women on there.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to know, keep the situation clean, you know?
Okay. Well, on that lovely note, we're going to end it. But next week, we have time for one more Oscar movie.
Yeah.
And we are going to watch Napoleon. It's now on Apple TV Plus.
Okay. I think you hung up. I said Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, fuck.
Got any tots? Tina.
I wouldn't be opposed to revisiting
that. Got any tots?
I watched that recently, and that movie is great.
Yeah.
But now it's dead. That fandom around it is gone.
Oh, the dust has settled. I saw it at Beyond Fest a few years ago with Kevin, and it was like, this stands up perfect.
Yeah, it's great.
It was so good.
Great movie, and it was so ruined by the fans, but the fans
watch it when it came
but
out.
But now, we're good.
The Napoleon Dynamite animated series was better, though.
Yeah, that was so good.
Tina, got any... Uncle Rico, don't.
What are you doing here?
Eat the ham.
Tupperware. All right, everyone. Go watch Napoleon.
Watch them both. Watch Napoleon Dynamite too. Yeah. We should do a double feature. What was better? Napoleon or Napoleon Dynamite? And then we got to find a movie that's just called Dynamite. Black Dynamite. That's Dynamite. I mean, that's
all right.
Dynamite.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, no, Napoleon, the Joaquin one. We will return in 1 week. Do not wash.
I don't get that yet. You'll get it later.
You'll get it next week.
Goodbye.